From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer resigns today as more evidence against him stacks up in a prostitution scandal.
Over the course of my public life, I have insisted, I believe correctly, that people, regardless of their position or power, take responsibility for their conduct. I can and will ask no less of myself. For this reason, I am resigning from the office of governor. At Lieutenant Governor Patterson's request, the resignation will be effective Monday, March 17, a date that he believes will permit an orderly transition.
Barack Obama also adds to his primary victories, and former vice presidential candidate Geraldine Ferraro stands by her comment that Democrat Barack Obama is only where he is because he's black. For more on those issues in this week's political news, we have Democratic strategist Donna Brazile. She's an author and nationally syndicated columnist, and Robert George, associate editorial page editor for The New York Post. Hi, folks.
Hello.
Good to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, I think all of us are probably having a better day than Eliot Spitzer. And he made his first statement on Monday, admitting that he hadn't met his moral and ethical standards, being vague enough, not really saying that he'd done anything legally wrong. But why do you think, Robert, that it took him 2 days to finally step down?
That's a good question, because talk about the handwriting being on the wall. It wasn't just on the wall. It was in big red neon. Actually, it was probably on big red neon over on 8th Avenue when it was. But I mean, the fact is, I think the only reason why it took him long, it had to be because of legal considerations. I'm assuming, and we're obviously all of the New York Post reporters, as well as every other reporter in New York, is still tracking all this down. But I would assume that there were negotiations going on with the federal prosecutors in terms of is he going to be prosecuted for the various federal laws that attach to his moving money. He was moving money around to hide the fact that he was paying a high priced hooker outfit. So the question will be: did he make that deal that he would resign and would not face prosecution? And we'll obviously find out all those details in the next few days.
Donna, when you look at this case, I mean, Eliot Spitzer is someone who took on the titans of Wall Street, and he was known as a crusader. Does it undermine the work that he did on corporate governance and on financial management for him to have this kind of a massive scandal? I mean, there have been so many cases in American history and, frankly, across the world where politicians have one standard when they stand up in the state house and another standard entirely in their personal lives. Are these two, should they be conflated?
Well, yes and no. Look, I think Governor Spitzer violated his oath of office. When you swear to uphold not just the Constitution, but state laws, he clearly violated federal and as well as state law, if these allegations are correct. And now that he has stepped aside, perhaps he will have the kind of time needed to clear his name and to perhaps clear up any controversy. Eliot Spitzer ran on a platform to clean up the culture in Albany. And it's been a very difficult year for Eliot Spitzer. He's been embroiled in petty fights with the state legislature up in New York. Some of the Democratic lawmakers are not fond of his style, fond of his style of governing. So this gives now Lieutenant Governor, Acting Governor Dave Patterson, an opportunity to really change the culture in Albany, but more importantly than change the culture in Albany, to really bring about the kind of change that Eliot Spitzer ran on, but even expand upon that, because I think New York, like other big states in the Northeast, is suffering from economic problems, a downturn. And while Mr. Spitzer did some great work as a prosecutor, there's still much more work to be done. And now Dave Patterson will have to shoulder those responsibilities.
Well, Donna, let me just ask one thing of Donna before I go back to you, Robert. Spitzer was a superdelegate and apparently committed to Senator Clinton. What do we know about Patterson's support for either candidate?
Patterson was also a superdelegate. He's a member of the Democratic National Committee. He's my colleague and a good friend. He will now remain a superdelegate. Senator Clinton will lose one delegate as a result of that unless the New York State Party selects another superdelegate shortly to replace him. I don't see it will change any the math as it currently exists.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, David Patterson was on stage with Hillary Clinton after the Iowa caucuses when she gave her concession speech, and he was right there. He's right there next to her. He's a Hillary Clinton supporter, but as Donna said, he is. You lose one because they will not. You lose one as Elliot Spitzer's vote kind of falls by the wayside right now.
And what do we know, Robert, about Patterson and his governance style, how well he gets along with people in his party and the other party? I mean, if you had to give me like a sales pitch, David Patterson is blank, what would it be?
Well, David Patterson is connected. He is sort of the second generation of a family. They're sort of humorously called the Harlem Mafia here in New York. That was the first generation of black politicians that came out of Harlem in the late 60s and early 70s. And that included a gentleman named Percy Sutton, who was the first black Manhattan borough president, David Dinkins, obviously the first black mayor of New York City, and David Patterson's father, Basil Patterson, who was the first black Secretary of State, and so Patterson is well connected. He's been a member of the legislature where he was first elected to the state senate in 1985, and he became lieutenant governor when Elliot Spitzer was elected in 2006.
He's becoming the first black governor and of New York, and yeah. America's first blind governor.
That's right.
Ever?
That's right. Because I think it was a certain kind of an infection that he got that about 2-3 months after he was born, and he is legally blind. I mean, he is known. He gets along well with everybody. I mean, there are concerns, and I say this. I mean, I'm on the Post editorial page, and we've critiqued David Patterson a few times. On some of his stands, and so, I mean, going in now, we're trying to be obviously in the context of what is good for New York. We are trying to, look for the best in this as the state moves forward. There is, though, a concern that Patterson coming in at a very, very sensitive time, because by state law, though this often gets waived, by state law, the new budget is supposed to be done by April 1st. I mean,
it's like yesterday.
Yeah, that's been missed numerous times. However, that's a very sensitive time for him to be coming in, and there's this concern that may end up being squeezed by the majority leader, Mr. Joe Bruno, and the assembly leader, Shelley Silver.
Now let me jump in because we don't have too much time left, and I want to get a quick update before we let you guys go on Florida and Michigan, the whole issue of revoting. Donna, what's happening there?
I just want to add, David Patterson is a hardworking, intelligent, very friendly politician. I think New Yorkers will be proud to have David Patterson as their governor. New York is in good shape, but of course, Michigan and Florida officials are now considering a revote. Under the rules, the same rules that penalized these two states for violating the rules of going ahead of schedule, will now allow them to come back and conduct a revote if it's in compliance with the rules. Now, they must conduct this revote. I don't know if it's vote by mail, vote in person, etc., but they must conduct it before June 10th because the primary season ends on June 10th. If they come up with a plan that is in compliance with the rules, and there are so many cumbersome rules as we put together to elect our president, then they will be approved and there will be a revote. Now, Senator Obama floated an idea, well, why not just, you know, take the votes as is, but split the delegates 50-50. Senator Clinton people have said no to that. But look, in order for this to move forward, both the Florida and Michigan officials must agree, as well as the Clinton and Obama campaign, and of course, members of the Democratic National Committee.
Now, Robert, when you think about the revote, the way that things played out, Barack Obama did not gain anything. He's sure to gain something from this. So is it already a de facto win for Obama if they even step into the ballot booth?
I would have to think so. I mean, it seems to me that if the Clinton campaign were smart, they would say, take Florida and take Michigan, and you know, do 50-50 on, and kind of do 50-50 on both of them, because I think arguably, if they do a revote in Florida, I think Hillary Clinton would still probably win. The margin, though, is going to be a lot less, and I think and Michigan, frankly, I think could go either way. As a Republican, I'm obviously looking at this with a certain sense of bemusement. However, my sense is that the big problem here, and this is obviously something that the Democrats have to deal with a little bit further down the road, the big problem here is the delegate allocation process. And if they had more states like the Republicans do that are winner take all, I mean, I think you would have a much more clear cut leader amongst these two candidates right now. And instead, they're going to be fighting it out basically delegate by delegate to the convention.
Robert and Donna, we're out of time. I got to, you know, it's always so much good stuff right now. You can't.
We didn't
get
even get to talk about Geraldine Ferraro.
All right, guys. I absolutely have to let you go. Donna Brazil, author, columnist, and political strategist, joined us from Washington, D.C. Robert George, associate editorial page editor for The New York Post.